Everything is new now. Everything's different. Like this. How do you feel that we've been doing almost a year? We've done a year of episodes now. This is a year and a week now.
That's what I feel. How does it make you feel?
How does it make you feel?
Ice cream limbo. Ice cream truck on wheels.
Ice. All right.
Friend of.
Okay, we're starting in 10 seconds. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music news and music culture. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And you're seeing us, potentially. We'll talk about that in a moment. But
potentially, just in case it all goes to set.
Or they're podcast listeners as well. In fact, 99% of the people who are listening to this right now are probably listening to this via audio. But hold, this is the 50th episode of Audio Face. That's crazy. We've done nearly 100. Well, like, if you round up, a lot. No, but we've done a year of this, pretty much. And 100 years more.
I need to retire.
100 years more.
I'm good.
No, Sean, you've been doing this podcast, whereas you usually do triathlon-related things. And this has been one of your many escapes. So.
Yeah, except then I just have to listen to really shitty music half the time and then rant. But then you get the gems.
Yeah, you get the gems,
and then you get the good shit. It's like our three albums that we reviewed today. There'll be some shit, and some good.
Exactly. We've got ASAP Rocky's new album, Testing, that dropped. We have Church's new album, Love Is Dead. And Otzeki's...
Spell your goddamn name right.
And Otzeki's new album, Binary Childhood. You know the Greeks used to do that with the U's and the V's?
They owe me money.
But first, we're going to talk...
You know why they make a V instead of a U? Because they got to pay me five trill. Preparations, baby.
We're going to
pay up.
We're not going to talk about EU politics in this show. We're going to be talking about singles, because that's how we usually open up the show. And boy, do we have some singles for you this week. Let's start a little light. No Rome, who is an artist that Sean brought to the show. You want to kind of take it from here?
Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard of No Rome before. But the 1975's Matt Healy and George, they produced this track. Now, of course, my fucking laptop doesn't want to load, right?
No worries, I gotta hear
it. There we go, got it.
Song's called Do It Again.
Yeah, it's called Do It Again. And holy shit, it's really good. It's really, really catchy and good. It's at first, I started the first like opening 10 seconds or so, sounded like just normal pop. I'm like, oh no, what are you doing? I don't want to listen to this bullshit. And then it came in and it was good. It was really, really good. Modern pop, but not bullshit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it tends to be. It's good.
I heard it one time and I was very impressed. I can definitely tell. So one reason you brought up was because Natty Healy and George Daniel from 1975 are helping produce not only this song, but I think a lot of the EP that's coming out. The EP by this artist, No Rome, is called R.I.P. Indo Hisashi. And it should be coming out next month, we believe.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, along with...
They have a track that features them.
I guess, and there's, so. That was what I was about to say. There's a track that features the 1975 directly on that. That's really cool. And for fans of the 1975, we have a lot of good news for you. Their new album might be coming out in about a week. They have something...
On Friday.
They have something, a countdown timer on their website announcing. I think no one... Everyone does publicity stunts differently. We'll be talking about that later. But because Sean knows a lot about the 1975 and I don't, and we've talked about it a lot on this episode, on this podcast before, we're going to do a bonus episode that drops in the middle of the week. Also on video, maybe. We'll get to that later. And
as long as I don't break his camera or something.
Right. And we'll be doing everything you need to know about the 1975 because I don't know a lot and you do. But let's get to the sauce this week. So... Pusha T released an album, surprisingly, dropped on Friday. It's only 20 minutes long. I can talk about it a little bit later, but it's not in our main rundown of reviews. The main thing that came out of this was the last song on the album was a little bit of a subtle diss towards Drake. And I talk a lot of shit about Drake on this podcast. We talk a lot about Drake.
Let's be
fake
fair.
Fake Jamaican ass, right?
Fake Jamaican.
But I'm not going to diss him in a rap track, though, because... In one business day, Drake came with, what's it called? Duppy Freestyle, I want to say. And it's his, backup diss to Pusha T, and it's, wild. It's so good. Whatever. You turned on your Xbox. That's
no, I didn't. It just turned on by itself.
Okay, Microsoft.
What the
We have a show to do. Shut up. And so...
Drake hurt us. Drake hurt us, and now he's going to pop through my TV and start shitting audio things.
God's plan.
I'm down.
God's plan.
I'm with it.
No, but that is a diss track that everyone's talking about. There's not much worth to review it. I don't want to give Drake too much more publicity because he's going to be releasing an album in June. And one thing we...
Seriously?
Yeah. And one thing we do on Audio Face is when you release a single, we'll talk about it, but we're going to keep it light because artists are getting really creative with publicity stunts. And one thing we do on Audio Face is try to like cut through that shit and really get through
Kanye.
The right? Really get to the music, really get to how music affects culture and... pop some lame jokes while I read it.
And get bleeped every once in a while.
Yes, which brings us to what the fuck is this you're watching? What the fuck is this you're listening to? Well, Audio Face, we've been doing this for a year now, and it's been really fun. And so, since we've been doing it for a year, we're taking it to the next level. So,
oh, no. Are we going to Mars or what? We're going taking the Elon bus?
Fuck it, we're going to Mars. And so, Audio
fuck
Face.
Fuck it, my podcast.
Hello, humans, welcome to Video Face. I'm kidding. So we're going to be, here's how it's going to work. Videos of this podcast are going to be available on various social media channels, especially on YouTube. So you'll be able to see video clips of some of the segments we do in the podcast. However, if you're listening to the podcast, that's still the best way to listen because we're not going to put the whole show on the, online. The whole show is going to be the podcasted version. There's going to be a lot of content, a lot of album reviews that are only going to be in the podcasted version. So that's what we really like. If you listen to the podcast right now, nothing changes, but we wanted to do this because we can reach new audiences. Doing video is fun. Video is my day job, and so it's kind of an easy thing to do. And that's kind it's not easy, but like it's simpler for me to do. And the fun thing about doing Audio Face is we can both escape our worlds and talk about music and just have fun with it and do it in a fun way. And it's not too hard for me to do. And like, a lot of people, more people than I honestly expected, are listening to this podcast. And it's great. And
slightly scares me.
It's now we have responsibility. Now we have like a moderate amount of power. But like, I hope that I thank you so much for everyone who's listening from the early episodes, whether you just picked in a couple or now. Literally, that motivates us to keep doing this. Ultimately, we don't want to just like have you listening here and not just be a one-way conversation. We want you to join in. We want you to be able to
yell at us. Tell us we suck. Give us different albums to review.
Absolutely, yeah. Because we have our own mindsets. We want to hear other things, and we think other things should be heard. So that's why you should follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. Check out our new website, AudioFace.show. AudioFace.show. Come on, that's a really cool website.
A lot. Better than Dan from Inter.net.
Oh, no, you want to know a cool thing about...
Oh, God, okay.
The cool thing about this website, if you type in a platform, so like facebook.audioface.show, you go to our Facebook page. Twitter.audioface.show, YouTube, Instagram, they all do the same thing. So it's fun. Audioface.show is the place for everything, and our new homepage has been redesigned, and it's fun. So there you go. That's the new Audio Face for now. We're going to keep doing that, and let's get into the proper show, shall we?
Stuff this.
Yes. We're on a Kanye band till June because, I mean, we talked about this already. And we're on a Grimes band because Grimes is also going to be releasing something and I don't really want to talk more about Elon Musk. Hi, SpaceX. But while we're talking about eccentric artists, let's make fun of it and let's talk about the fact that Deadmau5 and Rez are most definitely collaborating with each other and I can die happy now.
So Rez like tweeted Deadmau5 saying, hey, can we do a collab basically? Something at 85 RPM. And Deadmau5 just sends an Instagram video like, here you go, Rez, fuck it, YOLO swag, 85 bae. And then just does like typical EDM thing just to fuck with people. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, and so they have this...
Just because Deadmau5 likes to fuck with people all the time.
They have this Twitter exchange where they're like, oh, I would love to collaborate with Deadmau5. And Deadmau5 has helped produce and like kind of helped.
She's on his record label.
Yeah, on the record label. And
Mousetrap Records.
Yeah.
Clever ass fucking name.
Rez is like a protege of Deadmau5 in a way. Not to say that she can't stand on her own. And she's like getting more and more fans every time she performs. Mm-hmm.
She's really good.
My friend, she's phenomenal. People I know who didn't know Rez before, who are just like huge EDM heads, went to EDC, saw Rez for the first time, love it. I think she's going to be one of the hottest artists coming out.
Wow.
Like,
Like Relax goes hard. That's a good track.
Everything she's got goes hard. But definitely take a listen out for that. And then in more electronic music news, there's some back and forth reports over whether or not a posthumous Avicii album will be released. This tends to happen a lot where you have the estates of artists who pass away, which we talked about in Audioface a lot, unfortunately, and they will decide what to do with unreleased work. Sometimes they cash in, sometimes it's just hidden forever, but...
Or you do the Michael Jackson route where you cash in.
Prince is about to cash in too, or Prince's estate, but I mean, no... But,
you know, Title Prince.
If Title lasts that long, but we'll get to that later. Or we got to that in a previous episode, actually. So if you're new listening to this, or you just missed a couple episodes, I think on 49, one before this, we talked a little bit about how much trouble Title is in.
Pay up.
Yeah, but with this, I kind of wanted to revisit this because we've had this conversation about posthumous death releases around episode 35, 36. And this is a little bit different because back then we were talking about posthumous live performances.
Yeah, we're talking about posthumous holograms and shit.
Yeah, back when Justin Timberlake was getting some Prince drama. But how do you feel about like albums coming out after death like that?
If it's a finished work and you plan to release it in the future, it's fine. If it's something that's unreleased for a reason, then don't release it.
What if it's like unfinished, you can put it all together? Like that's what a lot of people find unfinished works and then they put it together.
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens in classical music all the time.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like people will die midway between writing something and they go, oh, whoops. And then people transcribe it and give it out. Happens with Chopin a lot. Some of his greatest works are posthumous. So it's kind of that gray area of, okay, do you respect the artist? Because there might be some reason why they haven't released it, but then also a lot of people want to listen to it. So I throw it up to put like a 50-50. It mainly, if they plan to release it, then that, by all means, go for it. But if they like distinctly write out why they don't want it or something, or saying like this is released, or like, I don't want it because it's not finished, or I don't like the sound. Don't do that. Then respect their wishes.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot. I will say that assuming the artist's wishes are met, I do very much enjoy when artists come together and take work from an artist who has passed on and kind of build upon it. Like there's a Johnny Cash thing coming out soon that has a lot of artists building upon
that.
Yeah,
that's different. Yeah, that hasn't really happened too often. I'd like to see that more.
Yeah, I think that's a really respectful way to do it, where you like collaborate with them. And I think one of my favorite songs is called, not my favorite songs, but one of my favorite examples of this was an old lyric from Old Dirty Bastard from Wu-Tang Clan, I want to say, when he died, was just kind of floating out there. And so the Black Keys, when they made their half rock rap album, Black Rock, they used his verse on one of the songs they remade. It was like a brand new song, but an old verse he made before he died.
Well, you could do like Michael Jackson, Love Never Felt So Good with Justin Timberlake, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, there are little things
like that. Yeah, there's a lot. We'll see what happens, what they release and what they say, if they do or whatever.
Yes. But before we begin, I will adjust your mic slightly.
Did it go zub-zub? Oh, thanks, baby.
Not that much. Pause. Now we're on camera. Everything is just a little bit gayer. let's talk about ASAP Rocky's new album Testing that came out just this week. 15 songs, 52 minutes long. This is going to be fun. Do we want to take it away?
It's rough. It's really bad. It's rough. The first two songs, I go, holy shit, this is going to be a long day. This is going to be rough. And it was really rough. By the way, the second song, ASAP Forever Remix, with Moby, T.I. and Kid Cudi.
That's a mix.
That's a weird mix. First off, T.A. still a lot.
T.A.
Teacher's assistant.
Oh, Lord.
T.I. still alive?
He's very much alive. And I think you made that joke before.
Yeah, no, I did make that joke before. Did he make it as app again?
T.I. And you made the same mistake where you said T.I., not T-Pain. T-Pain had the...
Motherfucker. I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. That'll get me bleeped.
Oh, God.
Anyways, even the production, the first three songs are just dog shit awful, where it's really shitty, overwhelmed bass to where it's like muffled out. Sounds like somebody's put a motorcycle next to a microphone and shat on it. And then you have Fuck Sleep, the fourth song. And then that tries to be a trap song and it's really bad. It's not even good trap. If there is good trap. There is good trap, but it's not that often. That was awful. And then the rest of the album is just fucking slowly falling apart. Limbs were broken on this album. This is awful. The production, everything. The lyrics, it was really monotone. All of the production quality just sounded cheap. It didn't sound finished to me. I don't know. I hated it.
I had a slightly different opinion of this. I felt like this album, while trappy because it's 2018 and to release a rap album at this point that's this mainstream, it has to kind of include kind of that newer sound.
Yeah, unless you're Bishop Nuru.
Right. But, I mean, he gets a little bit of a pass. He's still, I guess, up and coming, but...
Because he's fucking good.
Also, he's fucking good. We'll give him that. Yeah. But,
Allow it.
In comparing this to other trap albums that have come out this year, I found a lot more range in the production. Marian Hill is used as the sample for the last song in Purity, featuring Frank Ocean. And she's been sampled a lot in, not Marian Hill, Lauren, I'm blanking out the names because this is audio face and we're professionals. But,
it's too many names. I'll blur into one.
Right. But there are, a lot of good, I think there was decent production that went into here. It was just very inconsistent. And as a, listening to this as an album straight through, it felt like there was a lot going on conceptually, which I give it to for being different than other albums like Culture 2, for example.
Yeah, Culture 2 was literally the same song over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The only one that went hard was Bad Bitches Only.
Lauryn Hill, not Marian Hill.
There you go.
Lauryn
with a Y.
Yeah.
Spell your name Lauryn with a Y, you're fucking weird.
That's a very well-respected artist, but...
Oh, I know, but you're so fucking weird. Like, fair. You spell Sean without not S-E-A-N, then you're not a true believer.
This is... You're off your soapbox.
Soapbox. Here you go. Neoliberalism is a lie. Fine says a neoliberal shill. Get a corporate money. Soapbox.
Example. FKA Twigs, which is kind of not the collaboration I would expect between, like, yeah. ASAP Rocky and this.
Fuck.
I thought...
Sleep. It's the name of a song.
Yeah, it's called F-U-K-K Sleep. Guns and Butter, The Economist and Me kind of like that title, but I'll say that honestly, the album around track 10 or no, actually after Brother Man, I remember this. It started to kind of go, he's falling in too much into the concept of this album and not enough into trying to make tracks that sound good. Which I felt that I'll disagree. In the earlier part of the album, maybe like track 2 to 6, I would say, I think are all pretty good. And I think given more listens, not pretty good, but like, given more listens, maybe it'll grow on you.
I highly doubt that. It is rough.
I've been wrong before.
That's a good Radiohead song. I do enjoy Trap. I like 21 Savage.
Which took a while to like,
and now I really like him. And there's other couple artists I do like. This is just awful. It just sounds like shit. That's it.
To echo that really quickly, I don't think it's a great sounding album all in all. Mm. I think it's, as far as what rap is offering, it's less generic, which to me...
Yeah, it definitely is. It's definitely not your cream of the crop. But again, as I say, I will give you props for trying to do something different. And this is my thing. You do something different, it's either really, really good or really, really shit. There's kind of no middle ground.
Tends to be how it happens.
And this is on the ladder of really, really shit.
Yes.
Unfortunately. But whatever. He was on Friendo, so he gets a pass.
So on Audio Face,
we
do things a little bit differently. All album reviews done by all publications are subjective and, like, highly subjective, and they can't be compared to one another, honestly. People try to, but honestly, it fails. Same with Audio Face. We acknowledge this. And so we never choose the same ranking system, or we try to choose different ranking systems as much as we can. So that you can't compare apples to apples, because albums apparently inherently aren't that. Okay. That being said, if you had to rate the album somehow, using a scale of Elon Musk's companies, both succeeded and failed,
Jesus.
Or Elon Musk's business ideas, How would you rank testing? Because I give this a bravado. Elon Musk's idea where we crowdfund how trustworthy.
Holy shit.
Elon Musk's stupid fucking idea where we crowdfund how trustworthy news organizations are. That's horrible, never gonna make it off the ground, as literally named after a Russian word used for propaganda. It's bravado was literally the word for politically correct phrases from the Russian state. That's the kind of failure this album is. I mean, it's a good concept in the sense that you should try to keep journalists accountable, but ultimately, crowdfunding trust is stupid, as you can already tell. Bring it back to this album and not making it political. Being different is a good concept. It's a good idea and a way to go. And I think sometimes, in my opinion, Sean's being a little harsh, and I think this album lands on its feet more often than not, but it mostly doesn't land on its feet, and I don't think it's going to get off the ground. I think A$AP Rocky has produced better songs before this.
Definitely.
And
he's done some good stuff.
Yeah, this is just a little bit too conceptual for me, dog.
I was going to give a Boring Company flamethrower. Where it's something that is released, but nobody's going to get, and it's going to fall on its ass and become illegal. There you go.
Damn. All right.
Basically, I hate it.
All right. Y'all know our opinions. Next, Spotify is paying up. So Spotify is going to pay $112 million in royalties to songwriters after a settlement. We talked about this sometime this year in Audioface. I think it was Audioface 42. Because Spotify had this weird rule where it's considered like it's like an archaic rule from 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where Spotify was being treated legally the same way player pianos were in the 1900s.
Which is really fucking weird.
And so, long story short, because of that, Spotify had to pay out a lot of money to the tune of $112 million to songwriters claiming they hadn't been paid for royalties. So, you know, Spotify is a bigger company, and finally people are getting paid a little bit more from it, but as we've talked many times on this podcast and will again in the future, it's not even close. Artists still aren't getting paid really great from streaming services unless you're really one of the big ones. Let's get us in trouble.
Speaking of Spotify.
Let's get in trouble. So last week, Spotify did a really good move, what I would say, and they introduced a code of conduct for all the artists they have on their platform. Basically saying if you violate this code of conduct...
If you rape, pillage, plunge, or domestic abuse of anybody, your music is going to get pulled.
Unless you mention it in your music only.
Yeah, pretty much.
But they removed artists from playlists that tend to be where people do most of their discovery within Spotify, including R. Kelly, who's been accused of... Just Google it.
R. Kelly needs to go to jail is what needs to happen.
Yeah. And then XXXTentacion or Tentacion, whatever. Who? Some people pronounce it Tentacion. But stupid. He has been accused of, among other things, I believe, beating his pregnant ex-girlfriend at the time.
We detailed this in the Audioface episode. It was rough.
Yeah, we detailed
it. He also needs to go get locked up and get a little something.
Yeah. And so these are the most extreme cases, and it's not like these artists' catalogs were gone from Spotify. If you search up R. Kelly or XXXTentacion or search up a song, still pops up. It's just not going to be in any of the company's promoted playlists, which is where artists generate a lot of revenue from Spotify.
Yeah, Get Turnt playlist or something like that, where you have a star fuck of a bunch of songs, but that's how a lot of people, especially youth, they listen to playlists. They go, okay, I want to listen to alternative rock, and then they'll do that, and then it just goes straight through.
It's the luxury of not having to choose what songs you're listening to all the time, because that can be kind of a burden to do if you're like busy or something. But
if you don't have a good taste in music and you need to listen to Audioface to get a good taste in music and know what you want to listen to.
Yes, because we'll tell you what to listen to. No, but
we will.
We will, actually. We do music recommendations. You should check those out. Anyways, Spotify backtracked on the policy because of a lot of industry backlash saying that, oh, this is unfairly applied, this is wrong, and apparently leading the backlash and what might have tipped the scales was Kendrick Lamar apparently personally calling some of the folks at Spotify saying that he would leave Spotify with all of his, albums and things. His entire catalog would leave Spotify if XXXTentacion and R. Kelly were banned. Kendrick Lamar, you're a fucking coon. What the fuck are you doing? You don't. Kendrick Lamar's idea was that going against XXXTentacion and R. Kelly was unfairly targeting black artists when there were other artists, not black, who may have fallen under these guidelines and aren't being penalized. And I think that can be a fair point. I don't feel like Spotify is being racially punitive here by targeting XXXTentacion and R. Kelly. There's very obvious reasons why these fuckers should not be making any more money and they should see a jail cell immediately, allegedly. But Kendrick...
And they should drop the soap, allegedly.
Oh, I definitely want R. Kelly to drop the soap. Please drop the soap.
Have the health inspector come by and...
Please. Booty warrior that ass, all right? Okay, but XX... Kendrick Lamar, this is the wrong hill to die on. If you're gonna call yourself the woke artist and Pulitzer Kenny and all these cool things, then you're not gonna defend child abusers, people who abuse their spouses. You're not gonna defend the worst people in society in music culture who contribute to the
fuck up music culture.
Yeah, they contribute to the culture of misogyny that a lot of the Me Too and Time's Up movement is fighting against remarkably well. And so for someone as big as Kendrick Lamar, especially as big as he's, even bigger, he's reached legendary status in the past couple years. To do this is, as a fan of Kendrick Lamar, really fucking disappointing. Like, this is some...
And what doesn't make sense, and what's stupid is it's not like Spotify is taking them off completely. So it's not really, like, a free speech thing either.
Yeah.
It's saying, okay, we just take you off of our the Spotify-made playlist, but you'll still be on our platform so you can still search it.
Yeah, and I think
and that's fair. It's okay, fine. Yeah. You gotta pay up. You fuck up, you rape somebody, allegedly. You make a sex cult, do things, spread STDs. You know, just Google it.
The other things R. Kelly. And by the way, R. Kelly is basically bragging about this now in the press. He's talking about how, oh, it's too late to catch me. It's like what's done is done. Like, I'm already free. He doesn't show remorse. He doesn't show apology for his actions. He doesn't show condemnation for his actions. Mm-hmm. He's not doing any of the things Kendrick says he's supposed to be about, like against the misogyny of rap culture, against the kind of bravado of the culture. Yeah. And he's going, no, I stand directly for some of the worst of it.
So somebody has to go and pray for Kendrick Lamar to get a new brain.
Right?
Basically, all hail Lord Vince Staples.
Lord Vince Staples.
He is now...
He's now woke king.
He is now... I mean, he's already been in the Vince credit system, him in the Abby Martin system. But now he's king. Like, all hail.
Yeah. I really hope Kendrick gets his head out of his ass pretty soon.
That was rough. God damn it, Kendrick. We thought you were awesome. Somehow, unfuck it.
Next, we have a story that... I may only be able to access because of my login, but...
All right, look at fucking cool-ass Dan over here. Oh, I'm fancy. I'm from the internet. I can fucking access shit that you can't.
Jesus Christ.
Ripped you a new asshole there.
Welcome to the podcast where this routinely happens all the time.
It really does.
You want to know what's funny, though? I can't log into the thing. No, I can. I just had to open Chrome, and now my computer's really slow, but we're in it now. So basically, The Economist had this really interesting piece about how they found an algorithm. It loaded on yours? That's ridiculous.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I pay a lot of money for that to work. Okay, well, The Economist did this interesting piece where they looked at an algorithm that can basically figure out what chart toppers are and, like, what songs are most likely to be chart toppers, and is better at predicting that than humans are. So...
It's always a robot that's better than a human. Robots are going to take over. Elon's worst fear. Grimes is actually a robot.
Grimes is a robot. Plot twist.
C is a robot. That's why she named herself C.
Oh, that's some deep state shit. But I think the main point to get away from this is that... pop music is very generic, so that computers are now really able to figure it out. Which is kind of like defending our point of, like, music needs to get more varied, don't you think?
Yes, and also humans need to get more varied.
Also
in
fair.
Their brains. Because they're just like, let me just put on some generic music. No, fuck off. Go listen to some good stuff.
We're barely even halfway through the episode.
Oh,
that's
no,
funny.
We go. It's Audio Face 50. I got sauce.
This is
I had some Beyond sausage yesterday, so I'm sauced up. I watched Amadeus. I'm sauced up.
This, and it's a Sunday morning, too. I think when we record in the mornings, things just get wild.
That's true, because I like slowly wake up because of my day off at work. Ken tells me, sleep. I'm like, all right, you don't want me to sleep because I wake up all fired up.
One new thing about Audio Face is that we take short breaks, but people won't even notice them, so we'll be right back. And we're back from that cool little break. Aren't breaks fun?
Union breaks. Audio Face unionized.
Audio Face unionized. Yeah, that's another thing about Audio Face 50 is that we actually, Sean unionized against me. And given that he's the only employee, I had to give him a lot of rights. One of those includes breaks in which I'm allowed to turn off the camera and we continue doing the show and we don't take any of the breaks.
Union Sean.
Hey, you know what Elon does to unions? I'd watch out if I were you.
This is why I'm not an employee of Elon.
Anyways.
Churches.
Talk about churches. They released a new album and...
Love is Dead.
Love is Dead. Rock is Dead.
Alive. Alive yourself.
That's an old one. It is 13 songs long, 49 minutes, and can you go?
Okay.
I don't have Spotify open.
You're a fucking fuck.
Okay. Okay, I can look at your thing if you want. Okay. Oh. We're great. My opinions on Love is Dead are that it's really bland. It's extremely bland, especially because if you've heard another Church's album before, you've heard this one.
Yep.
There are a couple songs in it. Oh, there's a God's Plan. That's funny.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. When I looked, I'm like, that song isn't that bad. I looked on my phone, I'm like, does it really say God's Plan?
Yeah.
But it's got to spell God, G-A-W-D-S, which would be so much better. God's Plan.
They, in this, there are two songs in this album that I felt like we're slowly leaning churches in a new direction. And I felt that was Get Out and My Enemy. So that's song 2 and 4 on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps really good. Maybe there might have been one near like the last 3 songs, but churches made more of the same, and that is not good at Audio Face. It's really disappointing.
It doesn't pass the Audio Face test at all.
Really, like, it's this rough. Doesn't even try to pass the Audio Face test. It's exactly the album I heard where I first, by the way, I forget what it's called, but the first Churches album that came out is when I first heard of them and thought, wow, this is a really cool sound. But I also remember that The Bones of What You Believe was the album.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is a really cool album in 2013. And it was, and it had really great sounds for 2013. It's just, I didn't hear Every Open Eye, which was their album from 2016. But their 2013 album was good and had good sounds, but this sounds just like their 2013 album, which makes me wonder, I haven't heard the 2016 album. Is it just more of the same except 19 songs instead of however many are on here?
13.
Yeah. I mean, it's disappointing because they have the ingredients to do things differently, but it's just a completely stagnant kind of effort, unfortunately.
Yeah, 100%. It is super generic, nothing special at all. It's literally the same song, the same, like, the lyrics are pretty much the same, too.
I understand having the
theme. Which, I'll give it, it sticks with the theme, it doesn't really venture off of it, but at the same time, it becomes extremely bland when it's like, okay, this is the 8th song in a row where you're just grieving. Okay, cool. Make something else about it. Like, do a School of 7 Bells and make a grieving album and make it sound fan-fucking-tastic, but there's not many bands that can do that. And I do like Churches because I like their blend of Indian and pop and synth pop and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But literally every album sounds the same. Like every song they do, it sounds like it can fall around the same same theme.
I'm not trying to exaggerate to be funny. You can randomly copy paste songs from each of all the albums and put them all together and they'll all
pretty
sound
much
the same.
All sound the same. Yep.
Which is bad because it's a weird mix we're in. Sometimes we say things sound different and it's bad. And sometimes we say things sound just like they are and that's a good thing. Church's sound is all right, but it's not much better.
It's not good. It's not a good enough sound to keep doing over and over and over.
Precisely.
Again. It's way too bland. Now if you have a band and an artist that's experimental and has kind of an overall sound and kind of makes an album similar, that's fine. But again, there's not many artists that do that. So again, Audioface, what we always say, try and change it up. Do something different. And again, we will at least give you credit for trying to change it up, like A$AP Rocky. Okay, Lord. And we'll rip you a new one, or we'll respect you.
Yeah. And this one, we softly ripped him a new one.
It's pretty bad. Like, please change your sound. I was disappointed because I thought that it would be able to really be something different, especially in this age.
Me too.
Okay.
Would say that this Church's album, Love is Dead, is the crypto candy of music. So Elon Musk has a company. He said that he wanted to start a company that sold candy on like a blockchain network or using cryptocurrencies. And so he called it crypto candy. I think this is ridiculous. I think it's more of trying to borrow the cryptocurrency idea and the buzzword, to try and just throw it in there and shoehorn it into whatever you can and hope it works, which is kind of like this album. You're trying to shoehorn the Church's sound into whatever it works and hope that it goes okay, but ultimately it's kind of falling flat again. And I don't think crypto candy is going anywhere before Elon Musk has to pay out his employees for abusing them.
This is the hyperlink.
Hyperlink? Hyperloop.
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 Where it's just a bad idea. Just a really bad idea.
In like what? Because like the hyperloop, I mean, as a physics, in a physics perspective.
Okay.
But
engineering
I want faster
perspective, sure. But in a practical sense, just digging fucking trenches through making a goddamn hyperloop. I know, but there's.
Oh, the hyperloop has the trenches.
There's like. Anything with him and infrastructure, this is this album. Where it's gonna be the same every year, you're just gonna fuck over SpaceX employees to get your Hyperloop going, which is just a giant pipe in the middle of the street. That's like, Hyperloop, okay, we need parking space, assholes. We were literally transporting rockets around. That's this
technopolitics. Great work. Next, we have a fun thing. Is Nicki Minaj culturally appropriating?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
By doing the whole live rendition of her album, of her song, Chun-Li, that's going to be coming out. Nicki Minaj's new album was supposed to come out in June. It just got pushed back to August. But
good.
People are saying that, yeah, there's too much coming out in June anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
But Twitter is attacking Nicki Minaj for culturally appropriating Asian culture in her performance. For the record, Nicki Minaj has what I call the Dan Evans Nakamura rule, in which she has a great-grandfather who is Japanese. Sean, is this cultural appropriation?
Technically, everything is cultural appropriation, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, this kind of thing kind
personally, of... Personally, because I'm almost as liberal as it gets. Except being a full Marxist, you know. But there's some ideas that are good. People can be like, oh my God, turn off the podcast now. Then fucking kill yourself. Other thing is, it's so stupid. Who cares? If you want to dress up in a costume or something because your son is that, fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
But that's just me because I think it's just, there's too much. There's like so many little whistleblowers of, oh my God, she's got on chopsticks in her hair. What is this? She's appropriating Asian culture. The only time it's really bad is if you come up in a slave costume or something like that. Then, okay, damn, chill. But until someone does that, I don't give a fuck.
Considering I just called Kendrick Lamar a coon, let me talk about my experience on racial justice.
You did call him a coon. Flex.
Also, speaking from a glass house, because I am partially Japanese, also a little bit more than Nicki Minaj, so take that. In my opinion, the anger around cultural appropriation usually has to do when someone makes fun of a culture in a way that culture can't do for themselves. So, like, usually, I'll take this example that's kind of personal for me. When white people rock afros and get, like, respected for it, they say it's cool. That's like, okay, fine. But notice that for a while, until very recently, black people wearing natural hair in professional spaces was looked down upon, and you were told to like chemically do it or straighten it or something like that. And so that's one example where I hear this argument about cultural appropriation. I go, there are parts of it in society where people need to look at. This is not the battle to fight. The Japanese people have not been oppressed systemically by black people. If we take this Nicki Minaj's black and white kind of thinking here, I don't see the cultural appropriation argument here. That being said, I'm also not very Asian, and I don't know if I can speak because I'm not the offended party here either. So that's overall my opinion on it, but I think it's an interesting conversation to have.
I don't care.
Barely.
Fucking walk up with lederhosen and a feather hat, make fun of me, I don't care.
That's pretty progressive position, I'd say.
There you go.
Kendrick Lamar.
I was just reading this. So Kendrick Lamar stops white fan after she raps the N-word on stage with him. So apparently this happened at what festival? But I love that how the fucking consequence of sound article.
This is Hangout.
On stage with the Pulitzer Prize winner, Kendrick Lamar. Okay. Fucking whack him off a new one.
This was written before
before Oops. Yeah. So apparently this girl was on stage singing Mad City, which, you know, says...
Has a couple of M-bombs in it.
A couple has a lot in it. And then he just stopped her, wait, you gotta, bleep it out, bro. And do it. Which, to me, I go, that's stupid. If you're inviting somebody on stage to rap your lyrics are your lyrics. Here's another position I'm at. Alt-right Sean, apparently. In a normal setting, like me and you sitting across each other right now, I won't say it. Because, okay, that's not cool. That's fine. But in a song, it's different. It's as if you're reading a citation from a book. You just say it like that. The same thing as if you invite somebody on stage to go in your lyrics. You wrote that song. You wrote those lyrics there. So now you expect to bring a fan along the stage and not rap it word for word, you know, as they've done all the time. They're going, okay, this song is really good. It has this and that in it. But you have to censor them just because of their race, which I understand in a normal setting. But on something that they've wrote and that's verbatim what the song is, that's taking it a little too far to me. Because then you censor them, and then they go, okay, what am I supposed to say instead? They're never on stage before, and then they start to get, kind of flustered. They're, oh my God, there's thousands of people watching, what's going to happen? And then shit happens, you know, this happens. I think it's just it's the whole PC culture, because I really don't like it too much, obviously. For there's way too many problems with it, but this is taking it a notch too far as well. In a normal setting, if you call somebody an N-word and you're white, all right, you should get the shit kicked out of you. But if you're rapping it along with the artist who wrote it, it's a bit different. I don't know if you feel the same.
I like the way you approached it. And I think that's a way that a lot of people don't talk about it, that it's in context. Mm-hmm. And we have this issue in the news business all the time when you're quoting someone.
Yeah,
do you quote someone? Do you say the N-word? Do you not? And that's a complicated question as well. And I think people land on their own sides with it. I think in this conversation, I tend to look at context. And so let's bring it, I'll go a step further. I can envision certain contexts where between you and me off camera, you say the N-word and I don't care.
Yeah.
There are many of those contexts because that's you and me, we've been friends for a while. I know it's not coming from a racist place and oftentimes it's like maybe
quoting. Most of the time it's usually quoting something.
Yeah. And and maybe people disagree with that, but I don't give a fuck about what people say. This is something between me and Sean, and the only opinion that matters in this case would be me and Sean's.
Yes.
That's the context of the situation. Then you bring it to the context of the stage. And when you do that, I don't fall on a really good side. I understand, the last thing you want to do if you have, built your life and career off of fighting for racial justice while giving sexual abusers a pass, and you invite a white woman onto the stage to then say nigga on stage, that might bother you a little bit. At the same time, maybe give her a little bit of a break because people are not used to being on stage. Yeah. It's a really cool moment, and she's not there because she's in the Ku Klux Klan. She's there because she's a Kendrick Lamar fan.
Yeah.
She loves your music, and
let her go full gas.
Yeah,
let it go off.
I've been invited on stages before. I go off because, that's a moment.
It's your moment.
It's fun,
Moments.
Yeah. And so I see the arguments for both. I don't fall on either side because I think both are very good arguments. But
yeah.
I think that's like more nuanced than on this topic than you'll have from any of these other clickbaity people who are like, oh, this is definitely a...
You can't do that. It's all this race. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's the PC culture of, we're all humans. Words are just sounds that we make out of our mouth.
If we talk, I mean... We can check my track record at facebook.com/danfromtheinternet. Right. And
Linguist Sean.
Arguably, I fall more into the PC culture camp, some people would say, than you. But I think we have an agreement on here.
Yeah, that it's 100%. Like, it's like complicated, it's just taking but, it. It's just yeah. too far. You just ruin that fan's experience because of that.
Yeah, I think it definitely could have been handled better.
Like if I was a rapper and made something, a joke about Germans. Called us krauts or something, and a black guy comes up on stage and calls me a kraut. Fine. Cool. I allow it.
I think there's way different contexts. Or Nazi.
Or Nazi. The same thing. That's so much.
Let's talk about something, a few things vaguely more interesting. No, serious shit. So let's come back to R. Kelly.
Okay.
This was the thing I was referencing earlier where he said it's literally too late
to derail his career.
I got 1 million motherfuckers hating me or 40 billion motherfuckers loving me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. Billion. I'm going to take this musical shit. I'm going to eject these motherfuckers with musical, beautiful shit. Okay, make whatever music you want to in prison while you're getting ass fucked. Like, that's what I said.
Is that what you do when you insert yourself illegally into people and then transmit STDs?
Yeah, there's that charge that he was sued on Monday for false imprisonment, sexual battery, and I think knowingly giving someone an STD. And that's like that's just the latest in a long string of cases for R. Kelly. And so, again, Kendrick Lamar, this is the fuckstick that you're defending. I hope you're happy. Oh, sorry, this is the diseased fuckstick that you're defending, so I hope you're happy. And this one is actually a little bit, this one hits close to home, because I've become a little bit of a Rich the Kid fan lately, but... his estranged wife alleges domestic violence in a divorce filing. I'm a little more reserved, less because of my preferences towards Rich the Kid, which also aren't that strong. And also, to be fair, I think one of my favorite Rich the Kid songs is New Freezer, also featuring Kendrick Lamar. But I say this because in divorce proceedings, like... accusations
it
and
goes
conclusions
mental.
Get really wild.
So we'll just wait till the dust settles and what the actual facts yeah. are. And then we'll say, okay,
yeah.
you crazy or you bad.
And yeah. And
pay up. Either or.
That's different from settings outside of divorce proceedings because when you have just like accusations, like we're about to get into a little bit with Brockhampton, those, like the stakes aren't as high. And so...
Yeah.
The incentives for, like, that's why people tend to say trust the victims or, like, trust the women.
Mm-hmm.
Because the incentives honestly aren't that high for going public with your story and not pursuing legal
yeah.
means. And so that's why I'm cautious, but this is not a good look at all. And then because we've accidentally created a douchebag corner episode of Audio Face. Brockhampton, and this is really late-breaking news, Brockhampton got rid of one of their members, Amir Van, who was accused of sexual misconduct, emotional and mental abuse. He's being emotionally manipulative and mentally abusive, according to several exes of his. And originally, Brockhampton and Kevin Abstract, like one of the founding members, were kind of defending him on his side. Not really defending him, but saying, well, we'll argue whether this is defending or not, but saying that he made mistakes and he's learning to be better and we're sorry for figuring out this late. I've never seen him hurt anyone. We hold each other accountable for any mistake or whatever. Which was earlier what was being said. Now he's actually being held accountable because the offending member, Amir Van, has been like booted from
ousted,
the group.
Yeah.
And they also, Brockhampton canceled their remaining US shows and they pushed back the release date of their album by a month.
Okay. Well, they're actually taking a lot of action.
It seems like it. It seems like they weren't going to take a lot of action, and then they were.
Now they are. I applaud you. Good job.
Here's my kind of weird take on this.
Okay.
Of all the people I've been really hard on in this episode, R. Kelly, XXXTentacion, Rich the Kid, Kendrick Lamar, with Amir Van, with this... I don't know Amir Van's exact age, but Brockhampton, these are people who are like formed in their late teens and then like early mid-20s, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm kind of trying to say is a lot of these accusations, one accusation said sexual abuse, but that one was deleted, and maybe that was there, maybe it was not. But most of the accusations tend to be around emotional manipulation and mental abuse. And I'm not speaking from a wonderful place because I've been in these situations and relationships before, like on the receiving end. That being said, I have a bit of sympathy because these people are like young and really stupid and just learning the details about it. I have less sympathy when it gets to sexual misconduct. I have more sympathy when it comes to just like being a shitty person.
Yeah, exactly. Emotionally manipulative and mentally abusive. It depends on what exactly happened, because sometimes you don't even notice it. It could be your personality or something, depending on the person you're with. It's not like you're doing X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X- shit out of his ex or whatever it was. Pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's a bit different. This is something, okay, that's, again, see, dust settles. See exactly what happened. And when we know facts, or then we go in.
So do you think it was an early, too early of a move to kick out Amir Vann?
No, they're taking precaution, honestly. And it's to really save the group, so I understand why.
I think so, too. I don't know how in danger like the group was, but it could have become a bigger thing.
Been, yeah, it could have been more shit pops out and they want to just cut the cord now, which I understand and it sucks, but that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving on to...
our third album review of the episode. This is Odseki. This is
backwards binary question mark.
This is Binary Childhood. Now, Odseki is a very oddball kind of
O-T-Z-E-K-I. I didn't know how to spell them when I was trying to fucking search for them.
My bad. It's a very odd pick because this is their first album, and it's very rare that we like are this early on a group, but I discovered them last year, and I was like, this is an amazing ass band. And I've been following them ever since. Binary Childhood came out in the UK, and I think in parts of Europe, last month. And I've been pissed that I haven't been able to listen to it until now, but it's great that we can listen to it in Audio Phase 50 because I really fucking love this album.
This is fantastic. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what sound they had at all. And the first song didn't, All the Animals, didn't really like take me into it. But the second title, or second song, not because of the title, pay the tax, you know, pay your taxes.
Not because it's a popular catchphrase here, but...
yeah, but because it's a fantastic fucking song, that swooped me in, and then this whole album was fantastic. I really, really like, I think the third song, Already Dead, is a song that I'm, like, obsessed with, and I was playing on repeat earlier today. If I, you know, copyright reasons, I'll play it, listen to it, but... anyways, it's this really, really good experimental alternative rock, pop rock, whatever you want to call it, where it's that mixture of all the things good in modern music, which is very rare. You hear that with certain groups, even like Arctic Monkeys' last album kind of had a little bit of this theme where it was acoustic, but they try to wrap different themes around with it. This is taking it even a notch further. Wow. And making my favorite sound, which is the experimental alternative rock, which is very rare now, and you don't hear that often, because usually they go experimental, but then they end up sounding the same, ironically.
Yeah.
Like the whole...
it ends up being some synth something.
Yeah, like, oh my god, like Foster the People, when they did made their album where it's that, where... they did the trap snare drum thing with all of their songs and it sounded super generic and shitty. This is completely different. The total 180 of that. So, top to bottom, I loved it. It's fantastic and I want people to listen to this.
Absolutely. Like, if you couldn't hear how I felt about the album just introducing it.
Yeah.
I really liked it and... the songs that really... I think Angry Fix was my favorite song on the album. It's song number 9. It's definitely later into it. But to talk about this album, and I'm going to give it a higher score just because... well, let me give you the reasons why. And this is what I want out of an album. I agree with you. Not too long, not too short. 12 songs, 46 minutes. I think that's about a good size. Maybe I'd do 11 songs, but I can't look at any song in here and go, I would definitely get rid of that.
Yeah.
That's not to say there isn't some filler in here, but this is their first album. Like, this is their first album.
First take.
And so I generally want first albums from artists to be a little bit bigger, more fleshed out. I want them to be trying different things. But I think what Otsuki did here, which is difficult for artists to do in general, let alone bands who are just starting out and just come out with new work, is figuring out how to do refinement. And that's not just throwing a bunch of things at the wall to see what sticks. It's knowing that you can make all these crazy sounds and going, which ones do you keep? Which ones do you get rid of? What they kept was a lot of dynamic percussion and a lot of really interesting things in that department. And then what they got rid of was just kind of like the extra fluff that goes around it. Everything in the music, as well as the composition, if you listen like very carefully, they change it up so that it's a little less predictable every single time you're listening in little details. And the album's full of a ton of that, and it's really amazing to get to hear. Angry Fix, Already Dead. True Love is an 8-minute song, and it's like a pretty tight song. Like, to make an 8.5-minute song, you have to be really confident with what you're doing. You can't
the Siguros.
You can't be either a jam band, or you have to be really confident with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off. It feels like the song grows, it has depth, it has like a journey to go through. It's a lot of what you want from music. And then I'm not gonna repeat too much of what you said around the musicality and the things you like about experimental of it, because I agree with a lot of it. And they just did a phenomenal job here. And so
This is SpaceX. This is the bread and butter, what makes the most money, what is fantastic.
Makes good deals.
There you go. It's the top. Grim de Brulee.
Yeah.
Elon, take notes.
Other artists take notes too, because...
Please.
Not... Lord. This isn't... If anything, this is like kind of rock music moving forward-ish. But this is barely rock. This is just like...
It's different.
We've said that any kind of forward movement in any of these genres is going to come from the experimental sides, the underground sides. And that's an example. So absolutely, if I recommend you listen to one thing this week, it would be this followed by maybe that Drake does, just because it's kind of funny. I did this last year, and so I felt like I'd just keep the tradition. But with EDC... they did an interesting thing this year where they didn't report the number of transports.
Transports, what do you mean?
Medical transports. Mm. So people who have various medical issues at EDC relating to heat exhaustion or overdosing or whatever. And Insomniac specifically didn't release those for some reason, which I think is very curious. We should know publicly about the safety of events and things. But this LA Times thing that I linked into in the rundown, it's kind of this interesting thing that I felt at last EDC that I'm just kind of glad is being recognized, that a lot of these events, especially EDM, is like, and EDM shows are seen as like a modern day Woodstock, like a modern day, like an escape sort of from like the craziness of modern everything. And this year is a world where electronic music artists and artists in general are killing themselves left and right. General geopolitics is shitty and unenjoyable. People are getting shot at big concerts like this in Las Vegas, even. It wouldn't have happened here just because EDC is held in the middle of an Air Force base.
Yeah.
Like, good luck. But that, I think it's like the intersection of music, news, and culture to where the outside world is starting to affect how people can even enjoy these kinds of events. And this
is because a lot of people are worried about security, or they get worried about something that's going to happen, and they're constantly on the look instead of enjoying the event.
Which is sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can total they sold out for the first time in a while, I think, EDC did.
Oh, really?
And this is the first year they did the tents, which from everyone I heard went horribly.
Yeah.
And there are 94 arrests, which is pretty low. It's usually over 100 at least.
Yeah, so, it's usually like 150 or so.
EDC, the biggest shit show of the year, not totally a shit show. Oh, I have that story in twice or something? Yeah, have it in twice. Oh, well.
Well, so, and Audio Face, we usually end
No.
Oh, no.
That, we skipped that one. Vivo. There is...
Oh, what the fuck?
One of the most one of the most popular music streaming services. I say that as a joke.
Oh, whoa.
Vivo. Vivo you mostly know as being that annoying watermark in the corner of music videos you're trying to watch. Well, they tried to... They became like the distributor for online music videos. Like kind of like the MTV publisher online. Mm-hmm. And they start on YouTube and they're like, wait, we can do this ourselves because music videos are something that people are in demand for, so let's do that. And then they created their own platform. They even started to only put videos on that. And then like five people went to that website. And so Vivo is shutting down in order to focus back on YouTube around the same time that YouTube is really doubling down on its like music streaming efforts. So yes. That's funny. Oh, also some other random YouTube just streaming news.
Stupid shit. Okay.
There are some video. There are some people who vandalized Vivo uploads for Drake and Taylor Swift, and like messed with the interviews and everything. And
they've been arrested.
Yeah, they've been arrested and caught. I want to throw this in the rundown actually because this might make your head explode right before we end. So there's a story I just found where J. Cole did an hour-long interview with Lil Pump, telling him, among other things, you're smarter than what people know, what people might give you credit for. And this is kind of like this whole mea culpa that J. Cole has done since.
This J. Cole and Lil Pump interview is how we'll achieve world peace.
Okay, that's a Vice headline. Don't actually...
They need to align themselves, whoever wrote that.
Okay, first of all, Vice hasn't been a legitimate news publication since 2011. I think the only relevant thing out of that dumpster fire full of layoffs waiting to happen is probably Vice News, and that's because of HBO money. There are things I shouldn't have said on that part of the podcast, but you know we're going to move forward. This is part of this mea culpa that J. Cole has done since releasing Kids on Drugs, where he did this kind of nonstop hot take on SoundCloud rappers with Lil Pump kind of being in the center of it. And it seemed like they were kind of getting into a feud in the beginning. I was so down for the rap beef, but apparently only Drake stood up to the game. But yeah, they're starting to...
No, don't talk it out. Fuck that. Fuck international relations. Go and try to have a bloodbath.
Pump responded to the whole fuck J. Cole thing by saying he saw fans commenting on social media and he said he didn't know why, but he kind of gets it. We make different types of music, so people just like... And of course he can't talk and put two sentences together. He's a fucking mumble rapper. And he says, it wasn't even serious. I fuck with your shit. It's hard. Yeah, you do that much lean and that's what happens. But J. Cole basically tries to say that 2 years ago he thought that rap was... Bad things were happening to it, and people weren't being disrespectful of the art. And now he feels like that's not happening, and it is.
I mean, Cole, your album was fantastic because you started calling him out and needed a 180. You doing the Win Butler. You are on track to win the Win Butler
Little Bitch Award.
We are noted little bitch
J. Cole.
You are getting there, and you might take over and get the fucking trophy.
You might get named after you.
This is rough.
Not a little bitch, Jermaine Cole.
Oh, his name's Jermaine.
We'll have to go government on him.
Damn, Otis Jenkins. My government name.
All right, now let's get to the way we always like to end Audio Face, with something even more ridiculous than the rest of the episode, which is the fact that Diplo... Nicki Jam, Ari Estrefi, and Will Smith are all going to be working together on the official World Cup song. I've never wanted to hear something less.
Please, Lord Jesus, no, because I'm going to be watching the Weltmeister all summer, and if I have to hear that song 20 times, I'm just going to turn it off. Even if we win again, I'll just be like, okay, I'm done.
FIFA, if they're known for two things, it's...
laundering.
Money.
Letting Real Madrid win everything.
It's money laundering and it's picking bad music for their cups.
And their games.
Yeah, because let's see, Pitbull and Jennifer Lopez did the 2014
fucking hate that
ceremony. And yeah,
that was a dumpster fire.
That was horrible. And a lot of the music in the world is horrible, but some of the music is great. And that's why we talk about an Audio Face.
There you go.
before we wrap up the episode, let's talk a little bit about what we have coming up again. This week, probably on Thursday, we'll be dropping a bonus episode where we'll be talking about the 1975.
That's some good music shit.
Yeah, Sean said, I was down to just do it right now and record it right now and then publish it later. But Sean's like, no, I want to prep for this.
No, I want to go in, and also my back's hurting, so.
Fair. That's going to happen. Next week, we'll definitely be reviewing a Father John Misty album.
Okay.
Maybe if Kanye has his head out of his ass,
Lord, no, stay in Wyoming and never leave.
Kanye should be releasing an album next week. And maybe, if we're lucky, we'll get something from the 1975.
We should be. Please, Lord. Please. That's how world peace is done.
That's how world peace is accomplished. Yes. I fucking hate Vice.
Vice is a fucking neoliberal shill outlet.
They're literally owned by Fox.
Exactly.
Anticipated in June. So let's talk about what's moved a little bit. We're going to have Brockhampton and Nicki Minaj release albums in June. Brockhampton's work has moved to July for reasons, and Nicki Minaj's work has moved to August so she can figure out what Asian culture is. J-Rock the 1975, as we said. Kanye and Friends are going to be releasing albums in June. We're expecting something from Drake and Indulge Me because no. Gorillaz. Gorillaz might be back in June. They released a thing called the Now Now or something. The Now Now .tv. And
it says June 25th or something.
June 29th. 25th.
Something like that.
I think it's going to be new music. I wouldn't be surprised if this is part of that new like Gorillaz TV show thing that Jamie Hewlett's been talking about really wanting to do because it's nownow.tv. But speaking of fun URLs, you can check us out at audioface.show and see all the things that are there. Our Twitter stuff, new website. We even have some best of episodes you can go back and listen to. So if you want to go, hey, what are some old cool episodes to listen to? Why not listen to the Audioface reviews that we did last year? Why not listen to awards? That's right. Why not listen to the guest episode where I invited my friend Tammy on to talk about playlist creation? Her playlists are some of the best if you haven't heard them. And yeah, just other general things. What do you do with your life the other 6 days of the week?
I run around the world in spandex.
Yes, and people can see that at SW Suarez on social media, which you'll be posting on more because I'm here and I'll be hounding you.
Hey, I posted yesterday, so.
We're getting better. Slowly. Let's make sure you post the episode thing on Instagram for this on time.
Popping up right now? Well, we'll have to wait.
Yeah, and you won't be able to, it'll be weird. Anyways, and you can follow me, facebook.com/danfromyournet. Instagram at Dan from the Internet, Twitter at Dan from the Web. See my other
jets. Oh, shit.
Keep fucking my rundown. That's cool. Thank you so much for listening. Seriously, we wouldn't have gotten to 50 episodes without you all listening. We love you. We appreciate you. And if you're literally still listening at this point, rate us well on the podcast platforms because the higher our ratings are, or even the more ratings we get, honestly, the easier it is for people to find the podcast. That's how search works. So do that. We'll bring you a lot more things, and we'll bring you a new episode tomorrow to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
What are those words? To play us out. Cheers, guys.
Bye. I absolve you of your mediocrity.
Yes.